Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Do you think having six-pack abs means you're healthy? Could pole dancing keep you fit and open up your career options? And do you really need to have water fired through your colon in order to detoxify your body? Today, drop-dead healthy author AJ Jacobs returns to The New Man to discuss his humble quest for bodily perfection. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking with AJ Jacobs. He's the author of Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. AJ, welcome back to The New Man. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, it's great to be here.
All right. And so let's just go over some of the things you've done in the past. You've thrown yourself and your family into some challenging ordeals. You've lived according to the Bible for an entire year. You've outsourced your husband and parenting duties to virtual assistants in India, and you've even masqueraded as an attractive woman on an online dating site. So what had you finally come around and decide to tackle the humble goal of bodily perfection?
Well, yeah, I love to throw myself into these experiments and see what works and what doesn't. And they can be painful, as you mentioned, but they can also be great. So this one came about because I was about 3 years ago, and I was in terrible shape. I was skinny fat. You know that?
Yeah.
That's great.
Right.
So I had a...
You built like Grover. Built like Grover.
Yeah, built like Grover, exactly. I usually say a snake that swallowed a goat, but I like Grover. So I was looking to become more like Kermit. I don't know who's in good shape. Which Muppet is in good shape?
But, we'll have to consider which Muppet is in best shape. We'll come back to that.
Yes, that's an important question. But my wife was very concerned, and she said, I don't want to be a widow in my 40s. You have got to shape up. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to test every piece of medical advice and see what works and what doesn't.
Okay, and so this wasn't so much about looking like the guy on the cover of the magazine with the six-pack abs or something. This is more about longevity and just having good energy and being around for a lot longer and enjoying a better quality of life. Or were you going to get the six-pack abs too?
Well, I did. I certainly look better than I did. I do have some muscles, but I don't look like I'm on the Jersey Shore. And you know what? One of my favorite facts was that I read a Harvard Medical School journal that said that having six-pack abs is actually bad for your health. So that, I thought, was a wonderful little fact that could make a lot of people feel better.
Well, is it just that it attracts STDs, or what is it? What's the bad part about having...
That is probably another danger. This journal said that it was because it encourages more shallow breathing, so you're not breathing from your stomach as much.
Wow.
And that is the healthier way to breathe.
Okay, all right. Well, let's put it in perspective for the guy that's listening right now, and he's on his couch and he's stuffing his face with ho-hos. Is it really that much better to be in fitness? I mean, what are we talking about? What if he just said, screw it, I'm going to go like Brando. I'm just going to blow up. I'm going to ride out the last few years and just get huge. Is it really that much different? Or what are we talking about?
Well, I'll tell you, I was that guy. I am actually very lazy by nature. So it was a big change for me. But I'll tell you why I do like being fit. My energy level has doubled. I feel like I'm on, like I have an espresso in me at all times. And when you're in good shape, you know, you're better, you think better, you pay attention more, you're more involved in the community. So there are advantages to sitting there and stuffing your face with ho-hos. But I think the advantages of being in shape outweigh those.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the workouts you explore, because you no leaf goes on or no stone unturned. So pole dancing right off the bat. This is the one that piqued my curiosity. Was this just you exploring other career options, or what kind of workout did you get?
Well, it's quite an upper body workout. No pun intended. I mean, that you have to hold on and lift yourself up. So I will say this tip, I noticed, you know, I'm a trained journalist, so I picked up on this pretty quickly. I was the only guy in a room full of 75 hot women. So
sounds like a real challenge.
Well, I'm married, so it was a challenge. Actually, the challenge was not to act in a creepy way.
Right,
it was difficult. But if you're a single guy, I think this is something, an exercise option you want to look into.
All right. And so just an upper body workout. What was surprising about pole dancing? I mean, what do you, now when you're out on the town and you're going to all the different strip bars on a weekend, like you normally do, what's your appreciation of those girls on the stage?
Well, yeah, they do. They have to, really be strong. And I'll tell you, I was next to a ringer, this woman who's the head of the U.S. Pole Dancing Federation. And she actually has all these bruises on her legs because you're grasping the pole with your legs. So it's not an easy form of exercise. It's not for the faint of heart.
It's an amazing thing. I mean, there's some awesome videos on YouTube of the competitions that they do. And it's like Cirque du Soleil. I mean, they're just flying up this pole. And I've seen guys actually try and just climb the pole and they can't do it. But these women, and I guess there's some men that do it too, but it is a huge amount of strength that it takes to be able to perform on that pole.
That's true. And I like the pole dancing enthusiasts will tell you, oh, it has nothing to do with strip clubs. That's just, you know, aside from the fact that 95% of pole dancing does take place in strip clubs. But aside from that small fact, it's a sport unto itself.
It was a great day. I'm probably going to have to cut this out, but it was a great day when my wife saw something. She's like, can we get a pole in the house? And I was like, well, I'll think about it, honey.
That is great.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so the caveman workout, what was the caveman workout? Describe that.
Well, this is the workout. This is the paleo movement. You might have heard of that. Mm-hmm. They believe we should be living and eating like the cavemen because that's what our bodies were evolved to do. So we shouldn't be going to the gym. We should be working out outside. So I went with a few self-professed cavemen to Central Park, and we threw boulders, and we picked up logs, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I don't do it on a regular basis, but it was a fun diversion. And I do think they have a point about working out outside. Just being in nature, the studies show, is healthier for you. Even looking at nature is healthy. There's a great study about people recovering from surgery, and the ones who had a view of the park recovered a day or two faster.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. I can't go to the gym. I'm not one of those people that can actually just go and kind of get on a machine and go from one sweaty, disgusting, you know, thing to the next. And I've got to be outside. So it seems like if you're able to find some kind of a workout that is fun, you're going to be much more likely to do it too. Is that right?
Totally. You need to do something that's fun. And I don't like the gym either. I work out at home with weights, and I've realized I love walking. I never thought about it before, but I walk and work at the same time. So I walk on my treadmill desk. And this book took about 1,200 miles to write. And so, yeah, you have to do things that are fun. And I actually, instead of going to the gym, I also incorporate exercise into every part of my life. So I'll, when I'm talking to my kids, I'll squat down to their level, and then I'll pop back up. So I'm doing like 50 squats a day without going to the gym.
Wow. It's just that awareness of, hey, you know, I could just move the body. I think that's what I'm hearing from you, is just find ways to move your body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never realized how bad sitting at your desk is for you. I mean, it is alarming. The studies are just piling up. It's, I think I say in the book, it's like eating a Paula Deen bacon donut every day for breakfast. It'll just do huge damage to your heart. And the good news is that any kind of movement helps. So even fidgeting, if you're sitting and you're fidgeting, you can burn up to 200 calories a day. Standing up at your desk once every hour, or if you want to go extreme, do this this treadmill desk, which I love.
It's interesting because I think what you're starting to say is there's all this kind of wacky out there extreme stuff. And if you're trapped on your couch and you watch these infomercials, there's these like extreme workouts that people are doing. And that's a turnoff. And you keep coming back to just move, just find some simple ways to move. We've had Joel Harper on the show and he's just like, just pop down and do some push-ups. Just find some ways to do some simple movement every day, because even that will have a huge impact. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just move. That really is the key. And I will say, I have become a fan of the super short, intense workouts. I try to do those 3 times a week. Yeah, it's called high-intensity interval training. And the idea there is that if you go really hard, really intense for 20 minutes, then that's as good, if not better, than jogging at a leisurely pace for 40 minutes an hour. So it's a huge time saver. So I do try that sometimes. Other times I just do my walking and my squatting.
Okay. All right. And what kind of workout routine did you find was best for you after trying all of this different stuff? You mentioned just having some weights in your home, but what are you doing?
Yeah, I just do the dumbbells. You know, I watched P90X, so I've used a couple of techniques from them. But I personally love to work out while watching Netflix streaming. I mean, it's just a joy. My wife lets me do it while we're watching Downton Abbey. So that's an excellent use of my time.
All right. And so instead of just kind of couch potato and growing roots into the floor, you're moving while you're enjoying the TV or something like that.
Exactly. It makes me feel like Gilligan. You know, they had to ride the exercise bicycle to get the TV going. I feel the same way. I feel guilty unless I'm doing something.
He was built like Kermit. When you think about it, Gilligan was more Kermit than Grover.
True. I had a Gilligan body. I mean, I'm still, I'm now more of a professor, I hope.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely had it going on. So speaking of fun, let's talk about colonics. Describe a colonic to the guy out there that's never had one, and what was the reason for exploring the whole colonic techniques?
Well, I did the book body part by body part, so I wanted to improve my brain, my stomach, my heart, and also my butt, my colon. So I did all this stuff for that part of my body, and one of the things I tried was a colonic irrigation, which basically is they shoot water up your butt. So,
for what reason, though? Is this just like a kind of a cool thing to do on Saturday nights with your wife, or why do we need to shove water up our butt?
Well, we don't. I mean, the whole thing is a crock, but the claim is that it detoxifies you, it gets the toxins out, and it's really, you know, the best way to describe it is that it feels like they're shooting water up your butt. That's pretty much
that's what it feels like, right?
It's what it is. You know, what would you expect water up your butt to feel like? That's what it feels like. Not fun. And it goes all the way up, and you know, you can feel it in your stomach, and I was just happy to get out of there. And luckily science is on my side, because it says that colonics, and juice cleanses too. They're just really a scant evidence that these things have any benefit. So your body cleans itself. You don't need to, it's like a self-cleaning oven. You don't need to detoxify it.
It sounds like if you eat right and you move well, then it'll take care of itself. I lived in Boulder for a long time, and there was this bubble of belief, like, we have to do something. Our bodies can't take care of themselves. There's always some kind of weird cleanse or fast or something that was going on that seemed to indicate to me, like, well, doesn't the body know how to do that on its own?
Totally, exactly. I mean, I take very few supplements because I think that with a good diet and exercise, you really don't need all that stuff.
Okay.
It saves money too.
What other myths and just, you know, crazy BS stuff did you uncover and realize, you know, wow, there's so many people spending money on this stuff or worrying about this stuff. What other kind of myths did you come across?
Sure. Well, this one is a little out there, but you can find people who believe anything. There's something called trepanation, which is what cavemen did when they thought that they were sick. They would drill a hole in the human skull to let out the evil spirits. And guess what? There are people who still practice trepanation. They have now a pseudoscientific reason because it aligns the electromagnetics of the brain, but it's just crazy talk. So that is a big challenge. How do you find the real information among all of the ridiculous crap? And hopefully my book will help. But there, you know, you got to go to the respectable websites like the Mayo Clinic. That's one that I go to a lot. And also, you know, what I do is when I go see a movie, I don't rely on one critic. I go to Rotten Tomatoes and I see what do all the critics say in aggregate. And same thing with health. I try to go to a bunch of different websites and get their opinion.
You know, I can really appreciate this. Just yesterday, I went to a dermatologist to have a skin cancer removed, and he told me I was going to have surgery on a basal cell carcinoma, which is, it's benign and it's on the surface. And I didn't understand. He was like, yeah, you're going to be out of, you know, you'll be stitched up and you won't be able to work out or anything for 6 weeks. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense because I've had them before. And I asked him just to explain to me why I needed this and why they couldn't just scrape and burn this thing off of my arm. And he's like, oh, well, we could do that. It would cost a third less. It would take 5 minutes and you'd have full mobility. Is that what you want to do? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to fund your Mercedes. Like, come on, man. Like, but it told me, like, wow, we really have to be our own advocates, especially when it comes to our health and well-being. We can't just rely on one source. And even though I knew that, I was really bummed. I felt like, okay, at least my doctor is going to be the guy I can go to and really trust. But what you're saying is we have to go to several different sources and kind of put it together ourselves.
Exactly. And I'm glad you didn't get upsold on that one. My God, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked. But anyway, I'm good now. I'm moving well. So does it really take a lot of time and energy? I could imagine if I were to buy all the products that I see out there and I see in magazines, that it would be a 24/7 job just to be, quote unquote, healthy and strong.
Totally. It was for me. You know, a 24/7 job. I took it to the extreme. There are ways, you know, with just a few small changes that they can have a huge impact on your health. But I was just trying to do everything. So, you know, there was no time in the day for anything else. I had to exercise. I had to meditate. You have to pet dogs because that lowers the blood pressure. have sex is good for the heart. Not that that was happening all that much because I have three young kids. You have to go out into nature, as we talked about, and then you have to make food, and you have to eat food. And eating food is no mean feat if you do it properly. There's this movement on the internet called Chewyism, where that's their word, not mine. But they say we are a nation of under-chewers. We need to start chewing our food, and they're a little excessive, but their point is right. We need to chew more because when you chew more, you eat more slowly and you eat less and you get skinny.
Wow. Interesting. Well, that's a good point, because I've actually read where it's 80% of your what you look like, whether you're a Grover or a Kermit, is really just boiling down to what you're eating. I mean, you can do lots of workouts, but you're just a really fit fat guy if you're not eating well. So what talk about what you learned in terms of food.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to address two things, quantity and quality. So first I had to get the quantity down, which with chewing, and I used small plates, and I even took it further, I used my kids' forks, little, you know, Pokemon forks, because that made me eat more slowly. And then I had to address the quality. And, you know, the one thing everyone can agree on is that the standard American diet is the worst diet ever created by humans. It is just horrible. And the main problem is processed carbs like white flour and white sugar. That really is causing the obesity epidemic. So I had to get rid of those. I also tried all sorts of different diets, so the raw food diet and the paleo diet, which is a lot of meat. And in the end, I settled on, it's similar to the Mediterranean diet, but I eat a lot of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, salmon, eggs, nuts, not a lot of meat, and certainly no processed grains.
Okay. And there's something about the white foods out there, the sugars and the flours, and what are those doing to our bodies? What did you learn about that?
They're just making us fat, because they basically turn into sugar. So, yeah, if you're going to eat white foods, cauliflower is okay, and I'm sure there's another one out there, but potatoes, even potatoes, most researchers think that they'll make you fat too.
Wow. And it's just because when it gets into the body, it turns into sugar. And, you know, even though we say, well, it's not ice cream or it's not this or that, once it hits the body, it's sugar, and our body treats
exactly.
It like sugar. Okay.
Just goes right into sugar. There's nothing, there's none of the bran, to slow down the digestion.
Okay. All right. Well, let's make it easy for the guy out there. You went all across the board. What's the one thing that he should stop doing if he wants to make some headway here? What's the one thing he should stop doing today if he wants to really make a dent and be healthier?
Great question. Well, I would certainly say, do not sit at your desk for more than an hour or two at a time. Just get up, walk around a little, and then sit down, because that will kill you. I mean, the statistics are alarming that just sitting for 6 hours a day raises your chance of heart disease by 60%. So that's one easy thing to do.
Beautiful, beautiful. And if he was going to start doing something, so he's not doing already, and if he was going to start doing something, what should he take on just first, whether it's this workout or eating this or that? What do you recommend?
I would say, try to cut out the processed carbs. So go with the fruits and vegetables, which I actually have started to like. I think it takes about 10 or 12 times, but then your taste buds start to adjust. And now when I eat sugar or salt, it's like overwhelming. It's, I don't know how to process it. So when I've become much more sensitive on these things.
Very cool. And you've had to do this with a family, right? Are you doing this independent? Has your wife come on board with your changes, or has that been another source of friction?
Well, she is. She came along a little. She didn't go the full way because, I went a little overboard. But it was certainly better for her. My previous book, I followed all the rules of the Bible. And that one, she hated, because the Bible says you cannot shave your beard. So I had this, I looked like Ted Kaczynski. You know, I had this huge topiary on my chin, and she wouldn't kiss me for 7 months. And then there's another part of the Bible that says you cannot sit in, you cannot touch women during their time of month.
Right.
And even more, you can't sit on a seat where a menstruating woman is sat, because then that becomes impure. So my wife sat in every seat in our apartment. during that year. So
for a year.
Yeah. Well, she just made sure to pollute it, so I had to stand.
Got it. So this was a bit easier, and at least she's gonna hopefully keep you around for much longer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Here are the big takeaways from our talk with AJ. Number one, even though AJ is a germaphobe and far from being a superhero, he's willing to experiment. He's willing to try things out and use his own experience to make a change. Many of us, we're just sitting on the sidelines. We're waiting for the perfect thing to come along before we take action. We don't want to take a risk. Let's take a page from AJ's book and dive in. Figure it out as you go along using your own experience as a guide. Everything you truly want is going to be risky in some way. Number two, looking healthy doesn't mean you are healthy. Shift your goals from looking a certain way or maintaining a certain weight to following a philosophy that fits for you. For example, decide what eating and movement is ideal and create the goal to be consistent with this behavior rather than letting a specific weight or waist size be the outcome. Focus on healthy behaviors and the outcomes will take care of themselves. This will also ensure that your changes stick. And number three, even though AJ tried a lot of different things, the lessons are really simple. Eat real foods, avoid processed sugars, and move as often as possible. Yeah, well, where can we pick up a copy of Drop Dead Healthy?
Pretty much anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your independent bookstore, Kindle, you name it.
It's all out there. Anybody can get it anywhere. So, AJ, thank you so much for coming back to The New Man and talking about this. You've always got great stories to tell that actually really make a difference. So, I you're the perfect guest to have on here. You're fun, and you really bring great, great stuff. So, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tripp. I love being on your show.
There's so much more to The New Man than these interviews. So, visit thenewmanpodcast.com and join the mailing list so you never miss another update. Thanks for listening.